such a privilege to come back in the anniversary month, you know, what run down memory lane. It was such a blessing to be raised up in this church. We came out of an evangelical church, and I went down with a friend to Rhema Bible Training Center, and at that point they had a healing school, and she was dying of cancer. So I sat under the Word of God. I was healed of carpal tunnel syndrome. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I had one surgery and it failed. They didn't do it correctly. It failed. I was set up for another one, had some nerve damage and loss in my hands, and I didn't want to go through it, so I kept dragging my feet. And when I brought my friend down to Rhema, I didn't know if we were going to make it back. It was really scary what she was dealing with. But God. Amen. Sitting under the Word of God. The Word is truth, and the Word will set you free. And I thank God for Rhema. I thank God for the heritage. And this is the roots that this church has, is in that heritage as well. The truth, the Word of life, the Word of faith, it belongs to us. Amen. And God is faithful to watch over His Word to perform it. So I thank God for that. And just, oh, so many pastors. Pastor used to always bring in guest ministers, and it was such a blessing. I don't know about you, but I just came alive under some of them. I remember sitting on the ground over here for a couple hours. They sent everybody home except for, I think it was McLean's stayed and watched over me. Everybody else left the church, and there I was, getting what God had, what I needed to know. Amen. And God is always faithful to get to us what we need to know. But, you know, this church has changed names. It's not Believers Faith Fellowship. It's Harvesters Church of Rock County. And it's not Pastor Hoblett. It's Pastor Tim. But the church, the entity, what God has raised up remains the same. The call that God has on this church remains the same. And I remember sitting in one service one time, and I can't remember who it was, somebody that was real prophetic. I don't remember if it... I noticed you didn't spell out Pappenfuss and Bredenkamp and some of those names there. But, you know, it's just amazing, amazing, amazing what God does and is. The whole point is the call, the prophetic word it was that came forth at that point was, and this was right after, I think it was right after the roof got blown off and the remodeling was done, you know, and the word that came forth was they're going to have to knock out the walls of this place to fit those in that will be coming. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. God's word still stands. Amen. And His purpose for this church is still the same. And it's always been a place that brings light and hope and strength to the body of Christ. And I thank God for this church. It helped us tremendously, and it still does. So I just wanted to, Pastor Tim wanted me to give you an update on what's been going on. So I was scheduled to go to Singapore in, when was it, March and April of 2020. And then we were also scheduled in April, May to go to Ghana and to teach in the Bible schools over there and to do some crusades in Ghana. And it's always a blessing, always a great time. And then we were sitting and planning some conferences, healing conferences in Armenia and Georgia, not the state of Georgia, but the country of Georgia. And then COVID hit, and I didn't get to do anything. So, well, I did, because I did some Zoom meetings. I did teach a class in Ghana over Zoom on Christ the Healer, And I did healing school and prayer school in Singapore over Zoom as well. So there were little bits and pieces here and there, but it's not the same as going there. It's not the same as touching the people and being there with them. So I'm anxiously awaiting another time when I can go. At this point, I do not have any desire to get a shot for COVID. And, you know, I believe God can protect me. And if the airlines are in, and nations are enforcing that, I'm going to just hold off on that for now. And besides that, I don't know how many of you know, but my husband, Pastor Gary, passed away in March. And so I'm taking the helm, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it, but I'm the lead pastor now, and I don't feel as though I can really go on the mission field until I have a release from God that everything's stable and steady. So right now, I just plan on staying put and doing what I can over the internet, and when I have that release, then I'll pursue with the nations and what the, you know, what the restrictions are or not. Pray they, otherwise God's going to have to translate me, right? I mean, we've got evidence in the Word. It does happen, you know, so we'll just see what happens. But my heart is still for the nations, so I do believe I'll be back. So, let's see, what I just wanted to give you a heads up on, well, we've been sending money and you've been doing nothing. I want you to know where the money has gone. In February of 20, we bought a motorcycle. It was only $300 for some pastors that are ministering in northern Ghana. Northern Ghana is primarily a Muslim territory. And the Hansons that are overseeing the Bible school that stemmed this thing, what they are doing is they are raising up, they call them nation changers. And they just instill that in their brain that when you get out of here, you are a nation changer. But it's not just when they get out. It's every week that they go out. Every Friday afternoon, the last class that they have, then they go out and they reach the lost. And it's an exciting thing to be with them and to see that. And so they've gone to northern Ghana a few times on some outreaches, and what's happened is people have come in to the kingdom of God. Muslims have come in to the kingdom of God. And to me, I don't know about you, but that, I had a fear of ministering to Muslims since 9/11 and since the terrorism things that have gone on. There was just this little bit of fear. And then I was in a crusade one time, and before the crusade, we had a healing ministry. We had an outreach and medical outreach. So every single person that came through the healing outreach, or we had to talk to, and we'd interview them, find out what they're there, and are they born again? Are they backslidden? Are they of a different religion? Where are they coming from? We present the gospel, brought many back to the Lord, and the first Muslim woman I won to the Lord was so easy. It was, she so hungry, so wanted the Lord, and it just was boom, right there. And I was so excited about that. And then I had opportunity for another Muslim woman. And then a Muslim man came in. And that fear started rising up. And I thought, nope, I'm just going to present the gospel. And he received it with gladness. He received the Lord. So in Ghana, the people are hungry for God. There's still persecution. They've gone up then in outreaches to minister to that part, and several have come to know the Lord, have come back to the Bible school, and have gone back home to minister. A lot with persecution, a lot of stuff going on in their lives, but people are coming to the Lord. Amen. And I have another friend who has schools up there. Good, good Christian education. And the Muslims want that for their children. And they don't mind hearing about Christ when they're getting the education. So I thank God for that, for those things. But the motorcycle, then, these places, some of these, they're more like rural communities, tribal communities. They're spread out. They're small. The roads might be real treacherous. It's not like driving down Highway 14 here or 26 or 51. There might be a pothole that'll swallow your left front tire. So you kind of have to watch where you're going. But, you know, these motorcycles get them where they need to be. They might have planted three or four churches and they have to get there. And they have to walk unless they have transportation. So it's carried them in. It's blessed them tremendously. What else has happened in April of 20? One of the pastors that we support on a regular basis, his wife had to have her gallbladder taken out. Here you go into emergency surgery, you go in the emergency room, they take care of it, doesn't matter. It's the law. You know, if you go in and you have to have something done, they'll deal with it. There, if you don't have the money to take care of it, you're out of luck. So we sent $500 over for that to be taken care of, and she was restored. Hallelujah. And then another young man who's pastoring, he has a church that he has, he calls it Harvest Point Church International. So he is one of my sons, and his father passed away. Well, the responsibility, there's not insurances, there's not life insurance like we have here. There's not big savings accounts, you know. There just isn't anything really much to work with. And he had to fund that expense. So $400 went over to help him take care of the responsibility of his father's funeral. And then in April of this year, there is a Bible school. They wanted to start several Bible schools in different churches in Georgia, in the country of Georgia. So we sent some money over, and it was able to start two churches at $2,500, two Bible schools that are housed in the churches. And then in July of this year, I've written a couple books. Years ago, I wrote this one, Casting Your Nets in the Sea of Humanity. And then my next one was I Am a Child of God. And it's a real simplistic book, but it was just inspired by the Holy Ghost. And it just is truths about who you are in Christ. And all based on the Word of God. But if we don't understand who we are in Christ, we'll never move out in the things of God. We'll be hindered, we'll be backwards, we'll be timid. We don't really grasp hold of what belongs to us. So that's been used for devotions, for children's ministry. And one lady took and she taught one page a week. And it's just like a one-liner, but it's enough to get you moving in the direction for that. Well, in Georgia, they decided they wanted that book, so they printed it in Georgian. So I just got this a couple weeks ago, and I'm excited about that. They really, really believe that it's going to take off and bless the people, the heart of the people, that they have need of it, but that they love pictures. So who knew? But God did. Amen. So I'm excited about that and the prospects of that. And then in Rhema Accra in the end of September, they have a new building now. And they have many classrooms. They're just exploding. they're doing great, and they had need of air conditioner. Well, is air conditioning a luxury? I tell you, I taught there one time when we had no electricity, no backup generators, and it was at least 100, and on top of that, we had a blackout, and on top of that, we're on the top floor of this building, and so you got no lights, no fans, and in the dark with flashlights is what we had to work with. And I had an iPad that was lit. Thank you, Jesus. But to keep those students awake when it's that hot, and the part-time students, they come after work, so they've already worked the full day. It's hot, it's dark, they need help. So we were able to help them purchase 5 air conditioning units, and that was $1,675. So there's been a total of $8,375 that have gone over in the last 2 years to the different nations to do different things. You're tied into that because your funds went into, it's just been a general Shelley Sisk missions. So it goes wherever the need is. So we're just let that build up so that when I get to go, I go. But if there's a need in between now and then, it's met. Amen. As we're led, not just every need. I get needs every single day. Amen. We're not led by needs. There's needs everywhere you look, but we're led by the Holy Ghost. And we're trusting that He's going to lead us and we'll know what to do. So so that is where we are at. And that's what you've sown into. And you're doing a good work. Amen. People's lives are being touched and because of your giving. And I appreciate that. So, well, I want to go into the Word of God. Father, we're just asking for your Holy Spirit to lead and direct, to draw out what you desire, to give us light and life so that we can walk this out correctly for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're created on purpose for a purpose. Amen. There's no accident that you're here. There's no accident that you've been called into the kingdom of God. And we're not just taking up space. Amen. There is a purpose that you're here, not just that you're here, but there's grace, there's gifts, there's abilities on the inside of you. There's insights, there's things you've been through that are going to minister to somebody else. Amen. God has put us together and graced us, and not just a little grace. Sometimes we read over these things where may God's grace abound to you, and it's just words after a while. You know, it's just we just don't even think about what it's saying. But the grace of God is the most amazing thing. The grace of God is God's ability in us. It's God's ability. Are you getting that? It's not your ability and what you can do. It's His ability coming to you and then moving through you. Amen. So that we can accomplish much for the kingdom of God. He is equipping us well. He's filling us with His glory. We're in a time where we are coming towards the end, where things are winding down. Has anybody guessed that lately? It doesn't take much, and you can see that things are coming to a close. Amen. And in the process of time, we need to grab hold of what this whole picture is all about. Amen. We need to get purpose. We need to our every day, there's a purpose for every day. Otherwise, we can just go through the motions and we've got another day and we've not accomplished much of anything and we're feeling like, oh, let's get a new car, let's do this or let's do that. And it's just like, why? So it can burn up in a few, whatever, short time? Amen. If you need a new car, get a new car. If you're led to get a new car, get a new car. But that can't be your focus in life. Amen. What is your focus in life is, God, what do you have for today? Because there's a purpose for you for today. There's a reason for you for today. There's people that only you are going to connect with today. People that I will never see, but you have intimate relationships with. Or you have, they'll cross your path. There's a reason why you're here. And there's, you know, some of the things that you've been through, what the devil means for destruction, God will turn that to good. Amen. My daughter, she was 39. 7 years ago, she passed away. And there's heartbreak when your children leave. They're not supposed to leave before you. But the thing that's held me steady from day one is knowing there's going to be a grand reunion. Having that picture before me so that when you know, it was almost a year, almost. It was a week short of a year of when she first died. And I had a dream. And that was a rough year because my dad died. My daughter died a few months later. My mother died. It was like, ugh, it was a rough year. But the hope of that reunion is amazing. But a week before that anniversary, I had a dream, and I hadn't really grieved because my mom was hospice. My brothers and sister and I were taking care of her and trying to run the church, do everything. So we're just like, there wasn't proper time to grieve. And when it all came down to it, this dream, I think, was healing for me because my husband and I were in the garage in this dream. And all of a sudden, the back of the garage opened up. And there was this beautiful garden. I mean, not one withered leaf in there. A fountain in there. And there was my daughter. And she'd always been a little bit heavy. She wasn't heavy. She wasn't heavy at all. She radiated the peace of God. The joy of God. I've never seen that on anybody's face here on this earth. And I've been in some wild meetings where the joy of the Lord is just unleashed. And the peace of God just melts you in your chair. And yet, when I looked to her, I never could compare anything I've seen on this earth. The peace and the joy that they're walking in. Amen. Such a marvelous thing. And the thing is our hope, our promise. It's amazing. It's amazing. Can we pray? Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you that he's the comforter and the strengthener. And we thank you for the peace and the joy of the Holy Ghost. And I just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would settle in, that you would reveal what needs to be seen, and you'd settle these hearts and give them the joy of that grand reunion that we will soon have. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you. We thank you for supernatural peace and supernatural joy. You're so good. You're so good. We thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. When Pastor Gary left, I mean, I made a decision when Carrie left. I made a decision when Pastor Gary left. I am not going to get depressed because I have a tendency to wear my emotions on my sleeve. And I thought, I'll crash. I will just crash if I go that direction. I can't do that. And Pastor Gary is in a good place. And there's answers. And God reveals things little at a time. But you know, when somebody passes, you cannot, it cannot undermine your faith and your confidence in the fact that Jesus is our healer, that he's our deliverer, that he's our help, that he's our soon coming king. Amen. He is everything he's been declared to be. And there's different things that play into, and sometimes we don't see it. And sometimes God will begin to reveal those things to our heart. When we have need of answer, he'll open our eyes. He'll give us the understanding that we need. And sometimes it just comes in one little word at a time, but it paints the full picture so you're understanding. It's not God. It's the thief that comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I come that you have life and you have it more abundantly. Amen. And whatever the enemy means for destruction, God can take that situation and turn it around for his good. So these things, the hurts, the things you've been through, God's going to use that. You're going to be a blessing to others. You're going to be a strength and a light to others. And you're going to be a pillar together. Amen. You got to hang on tight there. And together, the strength that you have entwined together, you're going to be a great light. God is faithful. He's going to keep helping you every step of the way. Well, I want to go to Isaiah 45. And we're going to read 9 through 13. And it says, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay distribute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? How terrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father, why was I born? Or if it said to its mother, why did you make me this way? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and your Creator. Okay, this is what God's got to say. Do you question what I do for my children? Do you give me orders about the work of my hands? I'm the one who made the earth and created people to live in it. With my hands I stretched out the heavens. All the stars are at my command. I will raise up Cyrus to fulfill my righteous purpose, and I will guide his actions. He will restore my city and free my captive people. Without seeking a reward, I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. So, anybody ever argued with God about how you were created? I'm the only one, I guess. I just didn't see point or purpose to my life. And after God began to reveal those things to me, I started to get it. But for years, I couldn't see any value. And I could look and see it in somebody else's life. I could see talents upon them. I could see abilities. I could see their heart. But I couldn't see it in me. And you know, the thief is a liar. He's a deceiver. He is out to lie and take you out in his lies. And if you believe those lies, if there's anything that's contrary to the word of God and you grasp hold of that, he's got you where he can trip you up. It's a bad path to go down. The truth of the matter is, you are here on purpose, and there's purpose to your life. There's abilities, there's gifts, there's talents, there's things on the inside of you that God created you to be, things that he has destined for you to do, and you need to begin to grasp hold of that. Our God is an awesome God. And, you know, let the weak say, I'm what? I don't hear you. Let the weak say what? I'm strong. When we're weak and we're looking to him, then we're in a good place. Because then we're not looking to us and what we can do. When we feel like we don't have what it takes to do it, you're in an excellent place. Because then you have to lean unto God so that He can impart to you what is necessary. And what is necessary? His grace. What did Paul say? Your grace is sufficient. It's more than enough. It's not just barely enough. It's more than enough to do what? Anything that is required of you in life. Amen. You don't have wisdom? Let him ask. Amen. Okay, Lord. But ask in faith. Oh, God never speaks to me. That's not in faith. If you're asking a question, you expect to hear an answer. Amen. God does speak to me. He's going to show me what to do. I expect to hear. I expect to know because God wants me to, and He's going to reveal and impart to me His grace, His ability, so that what's required of me today will take place. Amen. And we go from glory to glory and grace to grace, here a little, there a little, continually adding on what God has begun. He began a good work in you, and His word says He will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's not going to quit. He's not going to fall short. So He is committed to help me and to help you from the day we give our life unto Him until we're in His presence again. Amen. He's going to bring us up. He's going to open our eyes and our understanding. He's going to help us every step of the way so that what, let me see. There's so many scriptures I want to go to. Let me just stick with this. I'll run amok and we'll get. What is the deal? He made the earth. He created the people. He created you. When He created you, it was with a purpose. Yes. He had something in mind for your life. It's not just haphazard. It's not just that there's billions of people on this earth and it doesn't really matter. We're just all taking up space and breathing air. No, it matters specifically who you are. God has created you. He's wired you in a certain way. And you and God together can overcome anything. You can't do it yourself, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So whatever is required of us, we're good to go. And that is what our expectation has to be. God's ability in me, God's ability in you is more than enough to do the job at hand. Amen. How many people have would be afraid to come up and hold the microphone? Has that ever caused fear? Oh, don't call on me. I couldn't even talk in a group of, I would have a bunch of friends, but if they were all in a group, I would clam up. I'd just shut down. I didn't function well in speech class at all. It was one of those traumas in my life. And I would never volunteer to stand up and say anything. So what you're seeing today is a miracle for me to stand up here with a microphone in my hand and speak to you, to go overseas and to speak to, there's been some pretty large groups over there sometimes. And it's a miracle. So if God can do that in me, He can do that in you, because I'm not any different than you. I'm a child of God, created in His image and likeness, given the grace and the abilities that He has set on the inside of me so that He can take and use those and pour them out. And that is what our heart is, as born-again Christians, is to be vessels that God can take and pour out wherever and whenever He sees fit. And so if we're in the end days, the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the water covers the sea. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And right now we're getting little reports here and there of pockets, miracles taking place, thousands getting saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. But there are pockets here and there. But that's not covering the earth like the water covers the sea. It's a pocket. We're hearing of outpourings of the Spirit. We're seeing things from time to time. And it's exciting to see all of that, but it's not what's in my heart. It's not what my expectation is. The knowledge of the glory. When you think of the glory of the Lord, what do you think? Signs, wonders, miracle, tangible presence of God, that his word just goes out unhindered. Is that what you think? That's what I think. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like water covers the sea. One time when I was in a flight coming back, hours and hours on end, the only thing that you could see out the window is water. That was it. No islands, no mountains, no land, no nothing, just water. Every direction as far as you could see. There were no holes or gaps in that water. It was covering the earth. There were no dips in that water. It covered the earth. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the water covers the sea. You're not going to go unheard. Amen. I mean, even now, people are... unsaved people, they can say Armageddon. They can spout out rapture. They can say all these terms that have been in the church, and they act like they know what they're talking about. Why? Because the knowledge is getting out there. It's seeping out there little by little by little. They don't know what they believe about it, but they've heard about it, and they've even espoused it a few times themselves. Were any of you involved in the Billy Graham Crusade? That would have been in 1979. It's been a while. It was my very first step in ministry, is being a counselor at the Billy Graham Crusade. And one of the most exciting things that I saw take place was, it was in Milwaukee, but I was living in Walworth at the time. And people in the gas stations, people in the grocery stores, people in the sidewalk were talking about the Billy Graham Crusade. It ignited something. It stirred up some interest. Now, as many of the crusade nights I went, I didn't see any signs, wonders, or miracle. Well, the miracle of salvation. That's the greatest miracle of all, going from death to life. That's the greatest thing we can see. But, you know, our flesh gravitates towards seeing something, seeing a bona fide miracle in front of our eyes. We gravitate that way. What's going to happen when there's the greatest outpouring known to mankind? What happened in the streets of Jerusalem in the book of Acts? It came unglued, right? Everybody knew. Great things were happening. People, 3,000 saved one day, 5,000 saved a little bit later. I mean, the place was coming unglued. People were getting healed in the streets. There was a tangible presence of the Lord. Amen? Things were happening right then and right there. And it changed the history of everything. So the latter days are what? Compared to the former days, what are they? Going to be greater. The latter days will be greater than the former days. And we look at that and go, ooh, ah, if I could have been alive then. You know what they're saying in heaven? Ooh! They're going to be up there rejoicing with us. Amen? Because they're looking over the banisters of heaven. Looking over, cheering us on. Why? Because their reward is coming. It's being added to them. So they're up there. They can see the good things. Not the bad things, but the good things. Well, hallelujah. So we cannot argue with our God. If you don't like something about yourself, you're going to have to take that up with God. And if there's something that needs to change, He can help you to change it. He can bring those things to help you. Are you guys here today? Amen. Yeah, I've been in this church. You can holler and shout and run. And it's okay. Well, some of the things He said, I've stretched out the heavens and the stars have My commands. He's done something. It's power. He's done this. He's put it together, and it's with His power. And the thing is I raised up Cyrus to fulfill My righteous purpose. And when God calls and He speaks to someone, He has purpose. He's raised Cyrus up for His purpose. He raised Esther up for His purpose for such a time as this. We're living in such a time. Amen? We're living in the end of the end days. Yes, amen. A great awakening. And in fact, they're saying that that started in some places where there has been a great outpouring. It's just trickling this way, slowly, quickly, quickly. She's changing my language here. So here's just a few scriptures that I want to add to this. Philippians 2:13, that God works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God is working in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Years ago, there's this little short little Italian lady. She's about 4 foot nothing. She was sweet as pie. And she just had the greatest sense of humor. We had a diet exerciser group in our church, and we called it Exercisers in Faith. And John 3:30 was our theme verse. He must increase and I must decrease. But we were sitting in that group one day, and she just came up and just says, you know, I wanna, but I don't wanna. And when she said that, it's like the light bulbs came on, you know. I wanna. Well, what is going to put us over into anything? But when we really wanna, we can talk about it, think about it all we want, but we've got to get past the wanna and really wanna. We have to grab hold of that with our heart. But God is working together in us to accomplish His will. Amen? He's working in us both to will. So when His Holy Spirit convicts us, when He brings light to us, when the Word just jumps alive when we're in it, then we've got to grab hold of that truth. We've got to mark it down. We don't want to be like the Word, where the seed was sown on the ground and tramped over or tore up or anything. We want it planted deep in our heart. What gets it that way? Taking time with it. Meditating on what did I just get? A lot of times you walk out of church, oh, that was so good, that was so good. An hour later, what did Pastor teach today? I have no idea. Amen. So how deep did that get in the heart? And how does it get from here and stay in here? But by meditating on it, journaling it, writing it down, going over it, speaking to your spouse or your friends about it, so that it stays fresh and alive, amen? But He's working in us both to will and to do. So the willingness has to come first, and when it does, the doing has to follow suit, amen? Thinking about something is never good enough. It needs to go beyond that. So God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what it pleases Him. And it does please Him. You know, sometimes our heart stirs and we're getting excited about something. We want to go a different direction with God. And we get this vision, we get this picture, and then we sit back and, oh, God, I pray it's Your will. I hope it's Your will. We just, you know, when he's stirring on the inside of you, it is his will. Amen? He's the one that put his will in your heart, in my heart, to accomplish it. Amen? Philippians 1:6. He began a good work and he will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's not going to give up on you. You don't give up on yourself. Amen? To completion. Amen. 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 In fact, just a quick testimony, because it could be a long one if I wanted it to be. But this is the scripture that I've been holding on to for my daughter, that he is working in her both to will and to do for his good pleasure. A week ago, last Thursday, Emily was in the emergency room, and she had OD'd, and she was dead, but they brought her back. And as if that wasn't enough, Friday, she did the same thing. So she's died twice this week. She looks pretty good, doesn't she? And I just thank God, and I am praising God for all that he's done and Amen. Is doing and going to do through her life. Because I believe there's been a call on her life, and the enemy has tried since she was a little girl.
What am I alive for? I'm just saying, I don't like you that much. It's over, so let's go start this and revival.
Amen. So her heart has been stirred, amen, and she sees point and purpose. There's a reason. Let's get the show on the road. Let's get this revival going. Let's get it so we can get on with what God has for us. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I'm rejoicing over this. Amen.
Day nine
sober. So thanking God. Amen. So he is working.
Yes, he is.
Amen. If any of you are here believing God for your children, believing God for wayward family members, he is working in them both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Yep. So Jesus is coming back. Philippians 1:9 says that our love needs to overflow. We need to grow in the knowledge and understanding of what really matters. What really matters. And in Ephesians, Paul prays for the people. And I'm going to just read that real quick to you. It's Ephesians 1:17-21. Brother Hagin encouraged all of the students, take this, pray this over yourself, pray this over your family members. Take it to heart. Amen. And it's a mouthful. If you just rattle it off and put your Bible away, you don't have a clue what you just read. There is so much packed into the scripture of what he's praying that happens to them. He says in 17, he's asking God for the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you a spirit of wisdom and insight so that you may grow. So you see, there's a reason for it. The so that is a reason. That you may grow in your knowledge of God. And I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that we have been given to those he has called his holy people, who are his riches, rich and glorious inheritance. You're God's inheritance. You are. You know, some people wait, you know, and they've been promised an inheritance, and they think, oh, you know, $100,000, glory to God, I can't wait for that inheritance. God can't wait for you. You're his inheritance. You're what's valuable. You're what's important. Your is what is going to count when it's all over and done with. I also pray that you understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. That is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in a place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Amen. And how now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete in Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Colossians 1:27 has got to be my favorite verse in the Bible. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He fills us. And now he doesn't, you know, just lay his power aside. He doesn't lay and just, when he fills you with himself, what is he filling you with? The same power that raised Christ up. Yeah, but I got a hangnail and it really hurts. The same power. We have to attach our faith to the fact that we are empowered with the greater one on the inside of us. The power that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of you. And it tells us why. It's to quicken your mortal body. It's in there. It's purposed in there. The believer shall lay hands on the sick, and what's supposed to happen? They might. It's a good chance. They shall. They shall. That's pretty confident, isn't it? But you know what happens sometimes? We're not confident in the power on the inside of us. So when we go out to lay hands on the sick, I hope God shows up here. I'll do my part. I'll pray. God bless him. Help him. Blah, blah, blah. But see, sometimes we put faith on the receiver, but it also needs to be on the sender. The greater one, the power of God, the ability of God resides on the inside of us, and we are all to be ambassadors for Christ. We're all to bring this gospel message out, and I believe healing is a calling card to the lost. Well, how can you say that? Your husband's dead, your daughter's dead? Because it's the word of God. My daughter's alive. It's the word of God. And there's things that happened, and I can lay some groundwork down for that, but I'm not going to. God's revealed so that I can see and know. I don't have to argue with anybody. The truth of the matter is, the word of God stands over everything we experience in life. God's word stands. And there's things you don't understand. There's things that I wish I would have known, but I didn't. Amen. There's things that we have to take God's word for what it says and just go on. Otherwise, we're stuck. We're stuck in a place where we're not functional. We can't receive in fullness all that God has for us. Neither can we minister it out. We have to accept there were reasons why things have happened, and there's a thief, and we're living in a fallen world, and we need to just move on. I know I'm going to see my husband. I know I'm going to see my daughter. I know it's going to be a grand reunion. I'm very excited about that. And that's what I have to look for. Because if I look right here, it can get kind of lonely. If I allow myself, I could be terribly depressed. But I'm choosing not to go there. I have to fight that. Because there's a song that'll come on, or there's a memory that'll show up, or there's something that triggers. There's triggers that take place. And when those triggers hit, I have to look, thank God I get to see again. There might be tears for a few minutes, but I can't stay there. There's so many things that the enemy would love to take us out at. And we just have to recognize what they are in our lives. And just, nope, I'm not going there. Just have to make that choice. Nope, nope. God has better. God has answers. And as we look to Him, He will reveal what we need to know. Amen. And we can't beat ourselves up. We can't blame ourselves. We're accountable for what we knew when at that point in time. Not what we gain in retrospect. You know, it's always great after the fact. You can see everything so clearly, can't you? After things are over and done with, it's like the fog clears and you can see. The enemy would love to take something like that, a loss in your life, something that failed, something that didn't go right, and use it to destroy you, to keep you blocked, to keep you from taking that next step, to hold you back. And the bottom line is, God's word is truth. He is who He says He is. He'll do what He'll say He'll do. And we have to accept that. And we just have to fight the next battle. Nope, nope. I am going to have what God says, not less. Because He cannot lie. He is not a man that He can lie. He is faithful to watch over His word to perform it. His heart is for you. Amen. And He's so good. He's so good. So I have about 14 more scriptures, and I know it is past noon. This is why I need to go to Bible school, where I can teach for 2 weeks straight. Hallelujah. So, you know, let's just look at a word from the Lord. Two of them. Three of them. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Says, from Him, speaking of Christ, being in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're not lacking for anything. Nothing. We lack for nothing. Those nothing. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And we lack for nothing. We have, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. And then Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And there's the key to it all. You are not on your own. Amen. We're not in this deal. It's for ourselves. If we're looking to our abilities, we're going to fall short. If we're looking to God's abilities, we're going to overcome. We're going to be triumphant. Amen. And we can do all things. And He says we're more than conquerors. And the thing is He's just, what's Pastor Tim's? I had a whole little deal here I wanted to do for you, Pastor Tim, but we're running. I'm sorry. We're going to do it anyways. There's just a scripture I want to read. It won't take long. I promise, guys. I'm shutting this thing down as fast as I possibly can. Just so much in my heart. In Ephesians chapter 4, and starting in verse 11 through 16. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So Pastor Tim is a gift to you. It's a precious gift, a valuable gift that God has given to you. And it tells us what He's here to do. He's to, His responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry This one says to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Amen. So who's supposed to do the work of the ministry? Pastor Tim, right? Wrong. Who's supposed to do the work of the ministry? I should see every hand up. You're to do the work of the ministry. His job is to train you so that you can do the work of the ministry. Because he can only go so many places. But all the people that are under his care can go forth to touch this world. We're ambassadors for Christ. So his job is to train you up. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body of the church. And he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The love of God was shed abroad in your heart the day you were born again. That's the motivating factor on the inside of us. That's what helps us to do and to overcome and to be what we're called to be, is the love of God and the grace of God, God's supernatural ability to do whatever is required of us. God has equipped us well, and he's put your pastor in oversight to help you develop and to become everything that God has for you. Amen. Amen. And I know we're past time, so we're just going to close in prayer. I do want to give some books out here. Father, we just thank you for your goodness, for your love, for your hand of mercy. We thank you for Harvesters Church. We thank you for this body of believers. We thank you that you're raising them up to be mighty in the army of God, that you've equipped them well, that you are opening their eyes and understanding, that they are grasping hold of the truth, the reality of who they are in you, so that they can accomplish much and be tools fit for the Master's use. We give you praise and honor and glory. Open our eyes so that we see the avenues you want us to walk through and how we can be a help to others. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.